Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old browse. I'm Ronnie Karam. That's Ben Mandelker over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on?
How are you, hon?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay, a couple things, everybody. Happy almost holidays. Happy holiday season. We did an epic three-part recap of Holidate, a movie on Netflix with our friends over at 90 Day Gays. That is going to be released next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's a three-parter. It's also on Crappens On Demand. If you want to watch the video, go sign up over at Crappens On Demand on Patreon. We also did a really long, crazy Real Housewives of Potomac recap earlier, and that's also on Crappens On Demand because we wanted to go frame by frame of the fight. So that's there. We're also going to do a crossover with Kate Casey next week because we are taking next week off. So this is it for the week. The recaps this week, the six we have coming this week. So we'll still be here for this, and then we're on break. And that's that. I think that's all. Oh, and we have Crappens Live coming up, the Crappy Awards.
Yeah, the Crappies will be back in January. We will have more information about when our broadcast is going to be. It's going to be like when we did the Salt Lake City premiere. We had a really great time with On Location Live, so we're going to do that again with the Crappies, which we think is going to be really, really, really fun because for the first time, you don't have to be in Los Angeles to come to the Crappies. So that's going to be super fun. We'll have more information about that when tickets go on sale, etc. But in the meantime, the polls will be opening, fingers crossed, January 1st. And we got lots of fun categories. We're working on the nominees now, but already there's a lot of really good eligible moments for the Crappies this year. So we always love having that. So just like stay tuned. We'll have details as soon as possible. If you're not following us on social media, go give a follow to Watch What Crappens, at Watch What Crappens on Instagram, and at What Crappens on Twitter, because chances are we will be making the announcement on social media. We want everyone to be able to come to the Crappies. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, we're super psyched for that. And now, guess what we have? Real Housewives of Atlanta!
Beep, 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 beep. So, a little fanfare, why not? You know, ratings are down for Atlanta, and I only mentioned that because you just know NeNe Leakes is going to take credit. It's like, see, if I'm not there, the ratings are going to be down. I'm like, so I'm just saying this right now because I got into, you know, when you get into an argument in your own head, like when you're in the shower, I got into an argument with NeNe Leakes in my head, and I feel like bringing it to the podcast, which is like, no, NeNe, it's not because you're not here that the ratings are down. The ratings are down because last season kind of sucked, and when you have a season that sucks, because of you. So when you have a season that sucks, ratings usually drop for the next season. So, ha!
Got her. Yeah, so take that. I know, you know how when it comes voting time, you have really passionate people who are out there going door to door and getting their votes and doing whatever they can. That's how I feel about this. I just feel like calling everybody I know and being like, please watch Atlanta. Please. Do us a favor for me.
I actually am really enjoying the season. I'm not going to lie. The first episode was very serious and important, but it was also pretty slow. And I think that also probably had an effect. But it was important stuff. They had to talk about it and continue to talk about it. But now that we've actually gotten into the season, I'm into it. I'm surprised how much I'm into it.
Yeah, they're mixing like the very serious with the very fun. And I think, you know, people want to avoid the really serious stuff because we're all living in it, you know? I think it's been a pretty traumatic year for a lot of people. And so we're still living it. And people are like, I don't want to watch that on TV. I want Housewives for escapism. But guess what? Some things you cannot escape from. Like real life.
Escape.
Like 2020. You're not escaping from 2020. And neither are the Real Housewives.
Exactly. And case in point, this episode opens up it's been 165 days since Breonna Taylor's murder and nothing has been done. Imagine if it were your child, Portia Williams. So Portia is back in Kentucky fighting for justice. It's amazing. And, she's saying that she just, you know, nothing's been done. So they're there to interrupt the community and remind them that Breonna Taylor has been killed and they want justice, you know, and there, she's like feeling like this is her Selma moment, or someone she's people are saying this is like a Selma moment, which connects her very much with her grandfather who was on the bridge in Selma. So that was very, very meaningful way to open up this episode.
Yes, and then she's arrested again. And she says that this time was more difficult because she had been arrested before. So this time they kept her there for a long time. Like, she was one of the last people to be released. And she's like, you know, this is uncomfortable, but this is what we're doing. You know, this is what we're doing now. It's our responsibility to be uncomfortable and confront that.
Yeah.
So then
we go over to Kenya.
Then we go to Kenya's dogs playing on the bed, or two tiny little dogs.
Naturally. Maybe that's why people feel like it's weird when the housewives does something really serious, because then inevitably there's a really awkward transition from like Kenya.
This is our Selma moment, to Kenya trying to figure out how to use a phone tripod.
With Brandon. Hey, baby. And then we go over to Marlo, who is, she's given Riley a graduation gift. It was like a camera. She's like, you need to have a camera in New York City.
And Riley's like, yeah, well, me and my roommate said that we would take pictures this year, so this is really cool.
Kayla's gonna help. Hi, I'm Kayla. Hi. Okay, say cheese.
What?
Cheese.
Say cheese. I can't hear you. What'd you say? I can't hear say you either. Cheese. You say it. No, you say it. Click. Hey, you took the picture. You didn't say cheese.
I'm lactose intolerant. Can you say something else? Tofu-ty.
Man, I don't know if we have a tie-in with Canon or what, but there's a lot of cameras in this episode, because Riley gets one, and then LaToya has one later. Yeah,
cameras. So then Cynthia's at a bridal shop with Mal, and
speaking of which, hi, I'm Mal. Hey, I'm Kayla. Hi, I'm Riley.
So,
guys, we should take a picture now that we're all together. That sounds okay. Good, Mal. Say right. Cheese.
What? Should we say cheese on three? What?
You can't cheese. Hear her either.
Hi, I'm Mal. You already said that part.
I'm on Mike's side. Wait, what? Mike's not even here. It's in my heart.
Is there cheese? Is this true that there's going to be cheese at the wedding?
So, yeah, so Mal's like, so, hi, I'm Mal. And she's like, okay. She's like, okay, so the guests are going to be in black. The bridal party's going to be in white. And Mike and I are going to be wearing neither white or black. I'm like, okay, great. Exciting. Fine.
They're going to be wearing silver and gold. Chill. So then we go to Drew, who's making pancakes with her kids. And man, Drew and Ralph can't even get through pancake making without fighting. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph is a giant asshole, as we saw last week. But here's my suggestion. Don't have three babies with a giant asshole. Let me tell you that this man did not just turn into a giant asshole recently. This is a well-oiled giant asshole.
Okay? Yeah, he's been this way since he was probably about 8 years old. Okay, he is an asshole through and through. I know he's got big arms and an adorable smile, but he's an asshole. He's a huge asshole. And he has a very large keyboard, which is like normal size for a keyboard. But I almost feel like he carries that keyboard around to make himself feel like he has a bigger deep penis. You know, like people say that about sports
cars.
But like, I think in a pandemic, since you really can't do the sports car flex as much, he's like, I'm going to order a giant keyboard instead. Like, you know that Jeanette had like a perfectly fine sort of like mid-sized like Casio keyboard that she just used. Maybe she had a Keytar, and he's like, no, I'm going to get an enormous keyboard now.
Yeah, I want a $10,000 gigantic keyboard. She's like, okay. So they're arguing because they're helping make pancakes, and so he puts two of the kids in the high chair, but standing up. And Drew's like, yeah, you can't do that. That's not safe. And he's like, come on. What are you saying here? It's like, oh, God. Am I the only parent here? And he's like,
He's like, it's a platform. If he tries to climb off, then that's when there'll be an issue. It's like, By the time the kid climbs off of that platform, he's fallen onto a stovetop.
Yeah.
He is the pancake. And speaking of pancakes, we do have to discuss these pancakes. Can we discuss the pancakes?
Sure.
Because 2020 has been a year in limited fashion. There was a lot of pancake discussion earlier this year on Real Housewives of Potomac. And I'm surprised it has not been addressed on the reunion about who truly had the better pancakes. I will tell you, if Drew had submitted her pancakes in the running, she would... I mean, they were just a disappointment to the Pancake Nation. They were. Did you see those pancakes?
They were like little silver dollar pancakes, right? Weren't they like?
They
little
were
mini
pale.
Pancakes?
They were white. They were white pancakes that were like 3 inches tall. I'm like, what? Are you making English muffins? What pancake is this?
Maybe they're healthy pancakes or something.
I was horrified.
I'm trying not to concentrate on the pancakes because I've been gaining so much COVID weight that I'm like, don't look at the food and then you won't eat it. But then I look down and I'm eating a Snickers.
I already made pancakes yesterday. So like I was actually happy because I was pancake immune because I already had the pancakes instead of like craving new pancakes.
So they are getting ready to do to practice for service because the mom's a preacher. So Drew's like, well, yeah, things between Ralph and I aren't great, but we decided to just table it,
that sounds healthy.
Which we learn in this episode. They say about everything. You know what? We're going to table that. It's like
he drove off to Tampa.
Let's put a pin in that.
So you drove off to Tampa and then said you just were going to the beach, but you went to Tampa. You crossed state lines and were missing for 3 days, but you also surveilled us the entire time. Let's just table that. How big is this table? how big is this table that we're discussing? Is it made of reclaimed wood?
Is this table tall enough for the kids to stand up on top of and almost kill themselves?
Yeah.
How tall is this table?
Yeah. So the theme of Jeanette's sermons can be bridle your tongue. And Ralph's like, well, why do you have to look at me when you say that? Why? And she's like, well, I had a discernment that some stuff was going on yesterday. And I came up here as someone who's quiet. And I try to be a person who doesn't take sides with anybody.
And he's like, oh, really? You don't take sides? And she goes, listen, you want people to be on your side all the time. And he goes, oh, no, we need to talk. Because now here you are in my house writing a sermon just to get back at me. And she's like, I didn't say that. And he goes, yes, you said this. You wrote this with me in mind.
Yeah, well, stop inspiring her. You know, the thing is this. When you're a preacher, I feel like one of the perks is being able to do a passive-aggressive sermon. Like, that is like that's like one of the fun things. Like, oh, you pissed me off. Guess what? I'm doing a sermon. I'm putting you on blast in front of everyone. So don't piss me off, you know?
Now, I love a bitchy muse. I mean, one of the most famous ones is the Mona Lisa. Like, she's like, I'm just not going to smile then. Fucking painter. Yeah. Go ahead, paint at me. Get back at me. Make a painting about how I never smile then and see how far that gets you. And then, ended up not going her way, and then it became the most famous painting ever. But still, I'm all for a passive-aggressive, you know, muse.
Yeah, I just think that Ralph is being so, you can't be screaming at your wife who is upset because you disappeared for 3 days, and Jeanette's stuck with her daughter who is panicked, and she has to, kick into mom mode for her grown daughter, and then you then expect her not to somehow have that impact her life and inspire her to want to talk about certain things. It doesn't work that way, Ralph.
Yeah, if church was bitchy, I'd go every week.
It's like if you were dating Carrie Bradshaw and then you do something shady to her, don't be surprised when she writes about you in her column.
Yeah, you're like, I don't like being blogged about. You're in the wrong household, sir.
Yeah. You're literally with Carrie Bradshaw.
Drew's like, God, he's argumentative, and I just take all the accountability, and I'm really just tired, you know? And I have to remind myself why we came together in the first... And his arms. There they are.
His arms.
There they are.
Yeah, Drew's annoying because she makes excuses for Ralph, and she's like, you know, the way he talks is super straightforward, and sometimes my mom takes that as disrespect. I don't think, no, your mom is an adult. Your mom is very direct too, okay? She understands being super straightforward. So don't make excuses and gaslight your mom or whatever. He is disrespectful and he is straightforward with his disrespect.
Yes, agreed. Fight with your own mother. Don't fight with my mother, okay? I fight with my mother, okay? That's mine.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Kenya's house and she's like, oh, look at me puffing pillows and doing laundry. Ha ha ha. I don't believe for one second that Kenya has been doing her own laundry. There, I said it.
Wow.
I said it.
That's bold.
I said it.
So she FaceTimes with LaToya, and LaToya's struggling to park on the hill. It's like one of those things. Like, LaToya's just being wacky, you know? She's so confused with parking that she has to FaceTime Kenya.
But also, Moore Manor is notoriously terrifying.
Yeah.
that steep run down into the ditch.
That's true. So LaToya comes in. She's got a camera on. So we already know this could be a photo shoot of some sort. And Ken is saying how she has just, like, great chemistry with LaToya. And they just, like, totally get along. And she's just great. Everything about her is just, like, wonderful. Which yes. means that they're going to tease some sort of, like, lesbian kind of, like, flirtation. Or they're just going to have a big fallout.
Next season. I think that they're... because they're really laying it on thick. This is one of those typical scenes of, like, look how good of friends we are. Oh, yeah, let's dance around. And they're dancing. They're like, I like tequila. I like tequila. You're so shady. You're so shady.
Hi, I'm Mal.
Hi, I'm Mal. Am I supposed to be in this scene? Get out of here, Mal. I parked my car perfectly. I don't care.
So they want to go on a date. Well, LaToya wants them both to sign up for a dating site. And Kenya's like, what? OnlyFans?
By the way, they're clearly not going to have a falling out, because if they were going to have a falling out, then LaToya would be probably a full-on housewife. So I think it's just going to be annoying flirtation. It's just going to be one of those annoying storylines of like, I kind of like a girl, which is like so played out and tired.
Yeah, I think that Kenya is just going to use LaToya as her weapon. You know, she's going to like aim her at people that she doesn't like and try and get LaToya to do all the dirty work. And then LaToya, it's going to make LaToya look stupid or something, and that's why she didn't get a full-time role.
Yeah. So here we see LaToya being put to use to change Kenya's image regarding wigs, because LaToya's like, I'm just not a wig person. And Kenya's like, well, you know, every now and then when your hair is jacked up, sometimes you have to wear a wig, which explains exactly why I had a wig in Toronto. See, everything is fine.
I've always been calm about wig usage and understanding about wig usage.
Yeah. So then they start talking about Drew's wig.
That
was
pretty funny that they're like, hey, let's just erase all of Kenya's negative wig talk over the years and pretend yeah. that she's just always loved wigs.
She's always been down for an occasional wig. That's just part of who she is, famously. So LaToya is like, well, let's call a wig. And Drew's, that is not a wig, okay? That is a pet on your head. So they're like making fun of Drew's wig.
Yeah. Oh, God forbid someone has natural hair, people. You leave Drew's hair alone. It's beautiful. So Kenya's like, we cannot be friends. We are too shady with each other. Other than that, any other issues with Drew? She's like, no, not really. You didn't get offended that she called you out on wanting to date people, even though you're still kind of married but separated? It's like, no.
Yeah, she like goes, no. She yeah, goes, no. Like, no. Kenya's like, she still needs work, this one.
Yeah. She's like, no, I mean, look, I've forgiven my guy. We've forgiven each other and whatever. And Kenya's like, I get you. You want to be a free spirit.
So then, LaToya is like asking Kenya what she is going to do to start putting herself out there, you know, dating wise. And Kenya's going to move forward with her divorce. And then LaToya's like, well, that's what, we're going to take some pictures. And Kenya's like, pictures? What pictures? I'm like, you saw her whole bringing a full on SLR, DSLR into this household. Don't act like you didn't know. Don't act like you didn't put on an outfit. So like, for a photo shoot with LaToya.
I know. Kenya looks gorgeous. She's in like really tight jeans and like a booby shirt and everything. Like she looks totally hot. She's like, pictures. Cheese.
Cheese. Say cheese. Hey, it's Mal. Hi. I'm Diane Malbus.
Did someone say please? No, I think she said tease. I said cheese. What? What?
Huh?
What?
What? How do you press? How do you take a picture?
So,
but wait, hold on. Before we take these sexy pictures, I totally didn't prepare for. What about my ring? I have to show that I'm still married.
Yeah.
Drew's like, I'll edit that out. And then that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Then we went to commercial. It was one scene and then commercial.
It was a cliffhanger. Like, will she ever edit that ring out? How good are her Photoshop skills? What does LaToya even do for a living? So then we go over to Candy working out with Cynthia, and Kenya comes over, and Kenya's like, you've got a hill over here like Moore Manor, which is like, I guess this is the theme, is that everyone has a steep hill at their house in Atlanta.
Yeah. And air kisses and stuff. And they talk about like, oh my God, I'm so fat. And Kenya's like, I have fallen into a vat of 30 pounds of fat. And yeah. So they're going to get some personal training done.
So they work out and they work out and they work out, and then they sit down to have a fruit break at a nearby table. And Cynthia starts giving her update on the wedding, and she's like, "Well, I still want to invite 250 people." And even Kenya's like, no, like, why are you doing that? Why, Cynthia? Why?
Yeah, it's a pandemic. And she's like, "Well, we're going to see a walkthrough." And Candy's like, I would know. She's like, "Don't even ask me what I would plan, because you know I would never follow the rules." And Kenya's like, "Well, you can always get married at the lake with a tent in the backyard. I could make it beautiful."
Mm-hmm. And Cynthia's like, "Well, I feel confident moving forward with the wedding as long as we adhere to all the COVID rules and regulations." I'm like, you're not going to. You're not. You're inviting 250 people to an indoor wedding. I mean, you're not. I'm glad that you feel confident, but you're creating a very, like, reckless event.
Yeah. So Kenya's like, "Well, if you hire me to be your planner," since you're like, she's always the wedding planner in my mind. And Kenya goes, "Yeah, and I can do your prenup too."
Mm-hmm. And Candy's basically like, "Don't wait until the last minute to have your prenup. Just trust me on that." And we see, like, flashbacks of Candy and Todd fighting about the prenup, which I was like, oh gosh, I was hoping that that storyline would be behind us. You know, I have to say, prenup storylines are, like, vastly annoying to me. To me, they're up there with vaginal rejuvenation and cryotherapy, and they're even worse because they seem to take up more space and be treated more seriously. And it's like, I'm just not interested in watching scenes of them meeting with lawyers and talking about prenups and being serious about it. Like, I just don't care about the prenup.
I think TV. A prenup should be automatic on any, if you're a reality star and you're marrying someone who's not a reality, or any kind of star, or if you have any kind of money, prenup. It should just be easy. They should just have simple. They probably do. You could probably just, like, sign up to a prenup newsletter and get your free prenup. Just be prenup, like, newsletter. You don't get any of my shit. Okay? The end.
Yeah, it's like one of those boxes that comes once a month with, like,
it's like Botox, your bark. It's like your bark box, but for prenups.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Portia, who's pulling up to Tanya's place, and Tanya comes out the door.
And she's, like, holding up, like, what is she holding up?
A baby.
Like a little... Oh, the baby.
She's holding a baby. It's her niece. And she's like, "Oh, it's my niece's tomorrow's."
Oh, it's Tanya. Tanya. So Portia's like, "Oh, my God." So they're all hugging because it's been 4 months since they've seen each other. And Tanya's like, "Oh, my God, it's just been so busy. It's been the pandemic and social rights stuff. Oh."
"Oh, love you. See, these girls are gonna get it on. Woo!" So they hop in the car, and they're gonna go. They're talking about someone named Fallon that they're gonna go see, and they're gonna go to her house and swim in her pool. And I guess the story is that Portia met Fallon and she seemed really cool. So, and Fallon invited them over, and Portia's like, "Don't threaten me with a good time," or something like that.
Yeah, so Fallon, we already know, is a failed audition.
Yeah,
because Fallon, she's not in the opening. So poor Fallon, we already know Fallon's going
to
be a failure.
She's also not interesting. Yeah. She also seems to be from a fully different age bracket. Like, it just seems weird. It was bizarre. So for right now, they're just heading to Fallon's place. And Tanya's like, "Oh, this is so much fun. I appreciate the estrogen."
And so, let's see. Pool, we're going to a pool. We're going to a pool. And then they start talking about relationships and COVID. And Tanya's like, "Well, you know, sometimes with Paul is a blessing, and sometimes..." I was like, "Just go somewhere. Please just go somewhere."
Yeah. And Portia starts talking about Dennis and how she's had to compartmentalize with all these different parts of her life. And they had a big argument and they've broken up and she had to do it for herself. And so she's been doing all this other stuff. So she doesn't have to think about Dennis. So there's that. And then they finally arrive at a mansion and they show up and they walk to the front door and Tanya's like, "Oh, my cheeks were out a little bit. Oh, wow. I hope no one saw that. My cheeks were out a little bit."
And she starts rubbing her butt on Portia. And it's just, like, wacky. And then Fallon comes, and she's this very beautiful lady with the mansion, of course, as we've mentioned. And she mentions, you know, every chance she gets. She's one of those Housewives auditions that just talks about how rich she is a lot.
I don't really understand
tries to get
her
on the show. And you know that this is a failed audition, and it makes the scene a lot sadder to watch it. Because I'm like, poor Fallon. Like,
poor Fallon.
She seems nice enough, but apparently this isn't going to be good enough because she didn't make it. And it's not.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And so she brings them to the pool, and then we just see this, like, older gentleman just sort of, like, shuffling along slowly. And I was like, please don't let that be our husband. Please say that's her dad. Please like, make Fallon, like, a daddy's girl. And this is her father, and this is her father's mansion, and she grew up in the lap of luxury. And then that her storyline is that she's a sheltered princess. Nope, it's her husband.
Yeah. There he is. It's her husband. Yeah. And, you know, they're all fist bumping. And he's like, look at those flowers. Those make me want to get married again. Because there's, like, white flowers. And she goes, well, we may just have to renew our vows for an upgrade on this ring. I'm the queen.
Well, congratulations on the ending of your marriage.
Yeah. Renewal. Being on a Housewives show. Yeah, and a renewal.
Hey, Ronnie, you know what's a really... I know we're in a pandemic and everything, and we're being really mindful of, like, social distancing, and we're being mindful of, like, not spreading germs with each other. You know what's a really good idea to do? Let's
hookahs. Like,
hookah. Yeah, let's do hookah. Let's share a hookah.
Do you think maybe they all have different tips?
I think they did have different tips. It looked like they were taking them off, but it still felt like... It's like... let's do an activity that involves blowing air in each other's faces, you know, with sharing tips and, like, saliva. And I don't know. I just was like, this just doesn't feel...
Well, how, like, the whole episode's kind of like that. Like, they all show up in masks, but then they all hug. It cracks me up. Like, Cynthia does it in her scenes later.
Yeah, everything. I'm like, this doesn't feel like a good way to not pass the coronavirus around.
So Fallon's like, oh, well, I didn't poke holes in the hookah yet, so I'm going to use my earring, my diamond earrings.
Yeah, she's poking holes. She's like, little holes, little wop holes. And so they're talking about wop holes, and Portia starts talking about how, like, a big wop. She's like, if you have a big wop and it's whopping, then that's bad, because then you're just swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
We got to find you after that.
So then they throw each other in the pool, and everybody's wacky and giggling. They're like, girls, I love girls. Let's talk about the deep issues of 2020.
And meanwhile, Simon's just to the side, just sitting and staring at them while they're all in the pool swimming around. It was just a bizarre place.
It was, because they move over to the hot tub, and he's sitting, like, way on the other end of the pool, just staring at them. It's creepy. Like, you see his little figure above them.
So then Fallon's like,
Portia, did I hear something about you getting detained?
And she's like, yeah, I got arrested, and I cried for 3 straight days because of Jacob Blake when I got back. And they start talking about how they can do something, and they're not helpless, and talking about the trauma that Portia talks about, the trauma that Black people live with right now, because, you know, if you see other Black people getting arrested or killed, that's traumatic, etc. And it's, like, very serious. They're all talking about it, and
I got you gifts.
Yeah, like, okay. She's bought them, like, really extravagant booze baskets and stuff. So then we go,
which, by the way, is also so, like, that's so thirsty. Like, people come over to swim in your pool, and you give them, like, extravagant gifts afterwards. It's like, okay, we know you want to be on the show. We know you want to be friends with everyone, but this is a bit much.
Well, hey, listen, if you ever want to buy a friend, I am for that's sale. True. Okay?
That's true.
So then we're at Drew's house, and they're packing to move to this new house. But, of course, Ralph hasn't moved any of the boxes he said he would. And so they bicker and bicker and bicker and bicker. And bicker. I need this couple off my screen.
Yeah, basically, they're moving into a house around the corner that's, like, a huge house. And Drew is already like, it's our house. And he's like, I'm not saying it's ours until I buy it. So he's very much like, it's my house. Like, I bought it, you know? And then he starts talking about the process of what, like, buying a house is. And he's like, listen, you just focus on packing up. I'll take care of the house. Like, very condescending and patronizing to his wife.
And she's like, dude, we're a couple. We're supposed to be doing this together. Can I be involved in this process a little bit? Like you say, your attorney, it's our attorney. And he's like, just pack.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, I just don't want to pack and then wind up in a situation where we have nowhere to go. And he's like, do you think I would put my family in that position? I'm like, yeah, you left them for 3 days and didn't tell them where you were. So, yes, I do believe you might leave your family high and dry.
He's like, do you think I would put my family in Tampa in that position? I mean. So she's like, stop saying I. He's like, well, I guess I'm just going to remove that word from my vocabulary. So they bicker at each other and bicker, and then they get in the car and bicker and bicker, and then they drive to the house and they bicker and bicker, and he's like, why are you giving me such a hard time? And she's like, well, I'm just saying that we both have areas that we can grow. For example, you think that children should be allowed to stand on stools two at a time, and I don't. He's like, well, sometimes I get things wrong, but at least I admit it.
It's like, you literally do not admit it. You literally, we watched you like resist accountability for leaving for 3 days, okay? And by the way, Drew is definitely an enabler, because she was like, well, no, Ralph just wants to be a knight in shining armor. I'm like, no, he doesn't want to be a knight in shining armor. He's a control freak, and he doesn't want, like, he wants to keep you under his thumb. Like, it's very blatant. His thumb attached to very big, sexy arms, but whatever, still an asshole.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I called the counselor and I want this to be a home we can grow in, so we should go to counseling. He's like, oh, so you already spoke with her and gave her a bias to prejudge me. Like, let me tell you what I want to fix on old Ralph.
She's like, well, you're the one.
Can you just say good job finding a counselor? Okay. Like, I didn't even do anything wrong. Are you agreeing to counseling or not? And he's like, yes, I'm down for it. We need it. You too.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be a disaster. A full disaster. He's terrible. So now, speaking of terrible, Mike and Cynthia go to a venue, like the governor's town estate or whatever it was called. And they meet up with a wedding planner. And then I wrote down this, exactly what you just said. They all have these visors on and they're hugging. It's like such it's like safety protocol theater, right? Like, they're not even wearing anything that's helpful. Like, those visors, they're like, they don't, you're supposed to be wearing a mask, right? Like, the visors seem cool and everything, but
those are the check cashing place visors.
Yeah, the visors, but like, it's still like, the whole point is that the mask is supposed to, the whole theory of it is the mask, if you are like basically asymptomatic or you have something, the mask is going to help keep your shit inside, right? And like that, so the visor is like, cool, I guess it's more, it's not bad. But on its own, it's not really that helpful. And on top of that, if you're hugging and your visor's like riding up on your forehead, where you're only covering your like your eyelids with the visor, it's like not the best.
My mom wears one of those, and she gets so mad when they make her put on a mask. She's like, ugh. And she always goes, I wear this everywhere and no one has a problem with it. You know, she throws shade at everybody. And I'm like, Mom, I've literally heard you say that 5 times to people, which means that you don't just wear this everywhere. Like, obviously, every time I'm with you, someone makes you put on a mask. Like, you think you'd be getting used to it by now.
It's like literally the easiest thing to do. Yeah. So,
she really loves that check cashing thing. I think that would be harder to wear that.
I know, that's the thing. That is more that's more obtrusive. That's like more, I mean, yeah, well, it's not, I mean, it's too. Not pressed up on your mouth as much. So I understand the discomfort of a mask sometimes, because sometimes it gets hot, when it's hot. And I imagine, especially in Georgia with that heat and the humidity, it's like,
yeah,
this mask.
Mine would be all fogged up if I was wearing one of those. I'd be like, yeah. Are you back there? I don't want to slide this check under the little slit unless I know you're there. Anybody?
Mine would just be dirty with all the like tacos I would try to like stuff into my mouth, and then I hit the visor like, damn it, I forgot I had this thing on.
yes.
Just so, have salsa stains on it.
Anyway, they're going around and getting a tour of this wedding venue, and Cynthia's telling us again, you know, her storyline. Mike just wants to get married no matter where, but I think that weddings set the tone for the marriage. And Mal's coming. She's like, hi I'm Mal,
I'm here to set a tone, and the tone is, hi, I'm Mal.
Cheese.
Oh, is there going to be a wedding photographer? Because I could do that. Cheese.
Oh, is this a charcuterie room? Finally, I can say it. Cheese.
I brought my Kodak Advantix.
So the lady's like, well, I think it would be really nice if we had an aerialist. What'd she say?
An aerialist. That way they can get sprayed from above.
But they were like, what? What is it? An aerialist? And she's like, no, an aerialist. An aerialist? No, an aerialist. You know, someone A-list? Who like, swings around.
Do we
around.
Want to have an A-list star? Did you say cheese?
No, cheese? An aerialist.
Do you want me to take photos from the air?
And Mike's like, oh, so a stripper. Like, no, yeah. No, like a classy stripper. He's like, sounds great.
At this point, Mike's visor, by the way, is essentially a yarmulke. It is like just all the way back on his head. I'm like, why do you even have this thing on at this point?
Mike's visor is the best because he doesn't even pretend. It's either on top of his head or it's like way pulled below his nose, which looks hilarious.
it's just like flagrant disregard. Yeah.
So they play that music. I don't remember what movie it's from, but it's movie music, and it's the same music Vanderpump Rules played when Jax was mowing his lawn at the beginning of the season. It's like, this is the perfect, perfect setup. So we see this romantic place to have your wedding, and look, here's a charcuterie room, and it's a golf course.
Yeah, there's just like these sprawling grounds, and Cynthia is very determined to have it indoors. No, I'm like, Cynthia, like, this is... Cynthia really frustrates me because it's like, okay, it's bad enough that you are bringing 250 people together in a pandemic when you could, which could very potentially be a super spreader event. But then you want it to be indoors. Like, at the very least, could you put up a tent? Could you put... Yeah. They've got sprawling grounds. It's October. Shouldn't be as bad in Atlanta. Like, why is this not an outdoor wedding, Cynthia? Like, it actually, like, makes me angry.
It's half and half. Like, part of it's going to be outside. So she's like, well, this place is enough. Big enough. And, you know, we can have part of it inside, part of it outside. It'll be fine.
But that's like, it's like, but if you have it inside at all, like, it's not like if you get extra credit. Not like coronavirus is like, well, they did some of it outside. So I think I'm just going to move on to the next event.
Yeah, it's
like,
not up there judging you. Yeah.
Like, why are you not having this all outside? Why are you so insistent? It's sort of like this, it's like a, I don't know. I feel like Cynthia is very selfish in this instance.
I think she is too. But then what's his deal with having to get married on that day? Like, he has to get married on that.
No, I don't think he has to. I think he's sort of like,
yeah,
I think he's challenging
her. That's a
special
date. That's a special date. We have to get married on that date. And she's like, why? Why don't we just wait for this to get past and have our wedding after? And he's like, no, you just don't want to marry me.
I mean, I will say this, their arguments, their stances are very fluid, so it's a little hard to follow. But like I'm under the impression that he's like, listen, we don't need to have all these people. What matters is us. So if you want to get married on that date, then it's this. And if it's like, I think he's like challenging to be like, if you don't want to get married,
like,
on that date,
it's not for show, you know, it's for love. Like, and she's
like, if you don't want to get on that marriage, yeah,
it's for love and for show. And he's like, no, it's not about show. She's like, yes, it is about show.
Yeah. Damn so it. Then, and so then Mal's like,
well, you know, we could have a small wedding in Lake Bailey. I'm sure the snakes won't mind.
Yeah. And that really pisses her off. Yeah. She's like, you know,
clearly,
listen,
I'm team
guys.
10,
yeah,
10, 20.
I'm team 10, 10, 20. I mean, clearly. And of course, she has giant earrings that say 10, 10, 20, 20.
Like, Cynthia, you're supposed to be one of our more reasonable cast members here. Okay. Like, first of all, why do you have promotional materials already from your ears about this wedding? Like, this is
Cynthia. She's like, I've already branded it. You know, I'm not going to rebrand this shit. Okay. So Mike's like, listen, if we can't do it that day, this is my day too, right? You know, like, why don't we make a decision that we're getting married on 10, 10, 20 and that's it? And she's like, Mal is my sister and all I require of her is to have my back.
Yeah.
So you're my sister, so I'm right all the time. That's it.
Do you remember your wedding with the dinosaur? Did she?
Yeah.
How much of a back do you want Mallory to have? Well, how much are you really expecting from her?
Although, she did kind of have your back with that one, trying to stop you from marrying Peter in that dinosaur museum.
Mallory has really never been in the wrong, by the way. Maybe
she
like
runs
once.
Your business.
Yeah. Mallory's like, why are you having all these people during a pandemic? Let's do it outside at your place. It'll be easy. It'll be fun, right? You know?
Yeah.
And Mike is like, And the thing is, Cynthia's just like dead set on this wedding that she wants to have. And Mike is like, Cynthia, we're wearing masks right now, which is also LOL because, again, his is like at this point, like on his elbow. And he's like, we're wearing masks right now. We have to plan for the idea that there might be restrictions, that we might not be able to have 250 people. And it's like, do you want to like, I just want to get married to you on this date. And I think that for him, it's like, the reason why he's like, if it's not this date, it's nothing. It's because if she isn't interested in getting married to him on that date, that just shows that she cares more about having a big party than actually getting married to him.
Right. So then they get in the car and fight some more about it. And then she keeps trying to mess with him. She's like, well, look, we might have to do plan C or D or whatever together. You know, I don't want you to be like, oh, it's a pandemic. Everybody's going to be in masks. I mean, we have to decide. And he's like, but it shouldn't matter who's around us. But I want to share with friends and family. But I don't want to take that away from you. Then don't take it away. And yeah. She's like, you know.
Well, he goes at one point, he's like, so on 10-10-20, are we going to be married? And she goes like, I don't know. For me, it's not about the date.
He's like, yeah, that's what I meant. She starts messing with him. He's like, what the hell? Now you're changing your story.
And it goes 51 seconds earlier, her going, clearly I'm team 10-10-20 and showing her earrings. She's literally wearing earrings that say 10-10-20. She's like, no, what I mean is I want to get married on February 10th, 3001.
Oh, God. So he goes, well, you know, people, when you, people don't ever say, hey, how was your wedding? They say, how's your marriage? That's what they mm-hmm. say. She goes, well, that depends on who you're marrying. Which I thought was funny because she's like, you're marrying a television star and I will be having a wedding that people talk about, sir.
Yeah,
and he's like, so that they just basically bicker and bicker and keep going and going. And this car scene goes and goes. And she's like, well, listen, he says, calm down. They're both telling each other to calm down, right? Because he's like, well, you said you need your wedding. And she goes, I didn't say need. Don't say that I said need. I didn't say need. I want. I don't need to get married. And he's like, well, calm down then. Well, if you're going to quote me, get it right. Because I want to get married to you. I don't need to. He's like, okay. So do you want to get married on 10-10-20?
She's like, I want to get married to you on 10-10-20 at the place we just looked at. And he's like, well, are we going to get married on 10-10-20? She's like, I don't know. He's like, okay, well, then fine. Then I know. She's like, all I know is that I want to invite 250 people and I want our wedding to be an escape room. And we're all going to be in there trapped together until we can find a way out. And there will be no masks allowed. Okay, that's all I want for our wedding.
And dinosaurs.
Like, I am dinosaur.
He just grabs the camera in the car and twists it away.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
Because it's clear she's trying to sell it like, oh, no, I want to have friends and family there because I want to, you know, I want to show how proud I am, da 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 da.
She wants to have her big fairy tale wedding, you know? And there were two weddings. So far, I've missed two weddings this year. And it was the same conversation. It's like, well, but can't we do it? Well, should we do a smaller version? Well, I don't want to do a smaller version. Everybody's going to be in masks. What am I going to have to do? Postpone my wedding? And guess what? They both postponed their wedding.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's like, to me, it's an easy thing. You either just agree like, you know what? Let's have a big thing and let's just like postpone it till it's safe. Or do the small thing and say, we'll have a big party later. But, like, this argument feels strange. I mean, obviously, we know they wind up getting married. And thankfully, I actually don't think that their wedding was a super spreader event, even though I think everyone was calling it a super spreader event when it happened. But to me, I just think that this is just, like, so selfish of Cynthia. And I think it's, like, endemic of like, one of the reasons why we have such huge numbers in this country. It's just, like, someone saying, like, no, I insist on continuing my life as normal because this is the way it has to be. And it's like, you have to make adjustments because a lot of people are. And the fact that you're not willing to do it for your wedding is like so selfish. It just really, really pissed me off.
Well, there you go. That's the end of that. The actual wedding is fun. All the pictures from it were fun because everybody's in the check cashing place masks. You know,
yeah.
Like everyone's all dressed up, but she still did have a lot of people there. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I'm ready for this season to move on to some new stuff because so far it's like Cynthia and Mike still talking about the Chahil wedding. And then
it's not going,
you know, to Kenya's divorce still. And then Portia's still mad at, you know, Hot Dog King.
It's not going to move on to anything because I think the climax is going to be the wedding. But I think the Drew stuff is fun because Ralph is such a dick, and that's like it's like really fun to just see how much of a dick he is, and just see like what like how that's going to unfold over the course of the season. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, and then next week it looks like Kenya's going to really be an asshole too. So you know we have that to look forward to as well.
Yeah. Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Atlanta. We will be back tomorrow with Below Deck. If you want our Real Housewives of Potomac extra long video recap, go over to Crappens On Demand. That's also where you'll find all of our videos and our three-parter holiday recap next week with the 90 Day Gaze. We'll talk to you next time. Love you guys.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kiss. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell. Miss Noel,
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.